PMP. Zoom in, get a good look. Yeah, it's me. Know where the fuck I'm from?
We don't play.
Yo. I'm reppin' LG and I'm the next great heavyweight. About to be the champ, nigga, every weight never safe. Level of potential, damn near out of space. About to skip the nigga who next, and I bet he wait. Ready for whatever, I'm coming fully equipped. About to show him how to fit, drop me a few hits. I think big, I just extended the clip. Yeah, we might party, but we will get on some bullshit. I thought I told you buffoons to stay tuned. I know I kept saying soon, they say I'm a late bloom. Gave it a little gas, I got him smelling the fumes, blew past, now your career in the rear like views. First thing you learn as soon as you step out the womb is rep your hood until you go to the tomb. Gotta tidy up the game, suggesting you make room, cause I'm about to make a clean sweep like a broom. I know you wonder why he acting like that, how my attitude is never back down, always fight back. Yeah, it's cause I'm so Brooklyn. Look at how I'm looking, I'm so Brooklyn. I know the haters probably wanna see me fall off. Honeys wanna jump on, so you need to jump off. Yeah, it's cause I'm so Brooklyn. Look at how I'm looking, I'm so Brooklyn. Yeah. You should never bite the hands that feed you. And I don't know who's running that feast, but I wanna eat too. I came through, stole the shine like a thief do. Now the honeys wanna lock me down like police do. Why your face all in my book? Oh, you can read too. Crowd in my space, fake friends so see-through. My man Mano told me how I should greet you. First I say hi, wave bye, then delete you. You not impressed, but I promise you'll be amazed. With the bins, with the rims, a year over legal age. It's Avatar Blue and they finding it kinda strange that when the sun shine, every time it move, the color change. It's Baker, and I've been on a steady grind. BK all day, Empire State of Mind. I hope you reppin' yours just like I be reppin' mine. Having trouble understanding, rewind it a few times. I know you wonder why he acting like that, how my attitude is never back down, always fight back. Yeah, it's cause I'm so Brooklyn. Look at how I'm looking, I'm so Brooklyn. I know the haters probably wanna see me fall off. Honeys wanna jump on, so you need to jump off. Yeah, it's cause I'm so Brooklyn. Look at how I'm looking, I'm so Brooklyn. I don't give a fuck if I've been gone for a while. It's like I did a bid right after I blew trial. I kill haters, dump the bodies in the pile. And my only two weapons is a high and a smile. Was given a few chances, made it all good. Across big bodies of water, repping my hood. Real niggas show love just like I knew that they would. And the ones who said I couldn't do it, wishing that they could. They wanna get me out the game cause they mad. Trying to say I'm taking performance enhancers for the swag. I laugh while I'm shopping for body bags. But I think it's kinda sad, a few toes need tags. I got riches now, came about the rags. My life's so fab, I just throw it in the bag. They kicked me when I was down, even doing a few jabs. If you didn't fuck with me, bet now you're wishing you had. I know you wonder why he acting like that, how my attitude is never back down, always fight back. Yeah, it's cause I'm so Brooklyn. Look at how I'm looking, I'm so Brooklyn. I know the haters probably wanna see me fall off. Honeys wanna jump on, so you need to jump off. Yeah, it's cause I'm so Brooklyn. Look at how I'm looking, I'm so Brooklyn.
What's up? It's your girl, Ed. You're listening to Pregame Radio, 347-857-4302. It is Friday, August 24th, 2012. What you getting into tonight? Y'all going out? Y'all partying? We here pregame. We just want some fallback shit tonight. You know, we're not even doing a full 2 hours. We're doing a one-hour show, and that's okay. We could do that. I want to give a shout-out to Brooklyn Black, who is at his other gig. You do know that Brooklyn Black is the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker. He has his hands in as much stuff as he could possibly have his hands in. I guess that's why they smell. Anyway, once again, it is August 24th, 2012, and today, from what I've heard, I'm trying to pull up some news reports now as we speak, but from what I heard, some wacko maniac shot up 34th Street. He was laid off from the Empire State Building, and he ambushed his manager and some other people outside of the building. You know, the Empire State Building has metal detectors, and I guess he figured there was no way he was going to make it past security with his weapon. So he decided to lay in wait for his coworkers outside. Now, I'm going to play a couple of songs while I continue to research this issue so I can come back and give you the accurate story. Because we here at Pregame, we don't like making shit up. We don't make shit up. You know, we want to give it to you raw, uncut, like it is. We don't sugarcoat shit. We don't beat around bushes. We don't straddle fences. That's just not how we do here at Pregame Radio. So I'm going to play a couple of Aaliyah tracks. These aren't exactly the tracks that I personally would have downloaded myself. But we all want to play these tracks in honor of her anniversary. She passed away, has it been 11 years? Wow. 11 years? Because Aaliyah passed about a week before the 9/11 events. I believe that she was there. It was her time to go. She went in such a violent way, and not even violent. I mean, how many of our entertainers have we lost to tragic accidents? We just, you know, and a lot of them through plane crashes. So, I mean, but it's a shame. She was such a great talent, and she is definitely missed here. I can't believe that they actually entertaining bringing out, doing a new video of hers. That is just, like, really ridiculous. Why? Aaliyah is dead, been dead 11 years. Let her rest in peace. Why are you guys bringing out a new record? You know, that is obviously just going to bring up some pain for some family members and friends whom, you know, just probably are still fresh in their memories. And not only that, Missy and Timbaland have nothing to do with the project. So is it even going to really be official Aaliyah? I don't think so. But like I said, time will tell. We'll see. So shout out to you, baby girl. Rest in peace.
There we go. Okay. Don't do me crazy. Okay. Hey, yo. You know what a dog needs? Do you really know what a dog needs? Chasing the cat to putting on the tree. Let me see what I gotta see. Do what I gotta do. Dog for life, but keep it true. Every once in a while I break out the backyard to roam and get reckless, but I still know that home is home. And when I get there, I'ma sit there, take it up there, put my there. Do I handle my business? Yeah, I'ma run till I bust my gun and empty the clip. And if I come home, gotta go, just give me the whip. I ain't got time for the lip, just open the fence. Let me go, I'll come back. I ain't got time to convince. Every since I was a pup, I've been stuck with the streets. Keep the heat, gotta eat. I'll pass in a week. If it's out there, I want it all at one time. When it's my time, I've done it.
You kill for me, you die for me. I know you like to rip and run the streets, but I deserve it from time to baby. I can't help to think you might not make it home to eat. You be looking out for me.
Yo, you can go with the dog.
You make it back in one piece.
So you can go with the dog.
You make it run it to me. You make it back in one piece.
Oh, you go better than the dog.
You make it run it to me. You make it back in one piece.
I know you up in the dog.
You make it run it to me. You make it back in one piece.
Oh, boy, I know you got to do what you do.
I might leave the heat behind. In the streets I'm fine. That's why I sleep till 9. Out by 10, back by 10. Sleep till 9, do it again. If you love something, let it go. If it comes back, you friends, you'll never know. You got me, I got you. Dog with a dog, ride till we die.
What?
It's all up in the song.
That's Aaliyah. That was Aaliyah back in One Piece, and that was from the Romeo Must Die soundtrack, starring herself, Jet Li, DMX, a younger Anthony Anderson. So, shout out to the cast of Romeo Must Die. It was a quirky little movie, and, you know, her acting skills were a little rough, but it is what it is. We have a caller. Area code 301, last four digits 9761. You're on with Ed, pregame radio. Who's this and where you calling from?
Hey, what's good? I have this Baltimore son.
Hey, Baltimore son, what's poppin'? How are you? I should know your number in all actuality, but I don't get to work the switchboard often. Black is stingy like that, so you know. But how you doing? What's going on?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm just getting off of work. I'm on the way home and everything like that. So, you know, gotta check in.
All right. I'm glad you're definitely doing that. Well, it's just me hanging out this evening, holding it down. You know, Black is at his other gig. And like I said, he has his hands in so much other stuff. That's why they smell funny. You know, that's just how it is. You know, but we definitely hear. Did you hear about the guy that shot up the Empire State Building earlier today?
Yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah, this guy named Jeffrey Johnson, and I had to do a double take when I saw the name because I went to school with the Jeffrey Johnson, and he was touched. Even back then, he was type crazy. But this guy is not my former classmate, Jeffrey Johnson. Shout out to him wherever he is in the world right now. But this guy was 58 years old, and apparently he had been laid off from this company, which is on West 33rd Street, which is near the Empire State Building. It wasn't the Empire State Building. It didn't happen inside there, but it was by the Empire State Building. And it goes to show you what a small world it is. I actually had a former coworker who is working in the Bronx now, and she takes accessoride every day, and happened to be in the accessoride van at the moment that this guy started shooting. She said she saw people dropping, you know, hitting the ground. She thought they were trying to get out the way. But come to find out that these people were actually getting hit by the gunman. He killed his former coworker, which was a supervisor, a 41-year-old by the name of Steve Urcolino. And he killed him, and he was shot by police. And there were eight wounded bystanders. Just a regular morning, going to work. And I used to work at Madison Square Garden. So, I mean, 34th Street, 33rd Street, the surrounding areas, 7th Ave, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, where the GPO is. I mean, these are places that are always busy. There's always, you you know, a mafia people around. So for him to come and to go back and do some shit like that in daytime, he had to be more or less at his wit's end. I guess he was just done. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that was crazy. I already know, like, these gun advocates or whatever, like, they using this Batman and all this other stuff so they can pass these laws so that we won't be able to carry guns, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I already know what they're going to say, like, if everybody could carry guns, there'd be so many more people out there shot today because everybody would have been shooting, you know what I'm saying, to protect themselves. I'm like, yo, I'm not for it.
Well, I mean, you got to think about it like this, too. It is an election year. Haven't you noticed that it's been, like, more shootings than usual? I mean, during the summertime, people get shot. It happens every summer. It's just one of those things. But this last couple of months, I mean, the rash of shootings with children getting shot has been fucking off the hook. And this is all directly related to this being an election year. Somebody is pushing their agenda because in all reality, I remember times niggas got shot in the hood every day and it didn't even make the paper. Nobody cared. Nobody heard about it. It definitely wasn't national news. Now you're hearing about it. It's these, you know, these rallies and these outcries. You know, I'm not in agreement with, I guess, the overall principle of the NRA, which is for them to arm themselves because they were afraid of the black people that they have finally free in America. Let's tell the truth. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not in agreement with what they were originally intending to start this thing. But I will say that I believe as a citizen here in this country, I have a right to protect myself.
Absolutely.
I have a right to protect myself. Now, I'm all for doing it the legal way. I mean, let's not pussyfoot around. You from the hood, I'm from the hood. We've all, at one point or another, had a gun in our possession, on our person, in the street, at home, whatever. We've all done it. You know what I mean? So, but I would, and it was all just about a matter of safety, not because I was a thief or, you know, was out there robbing anybody or, you know, sticking niggas up or just killing people just because somebody stepped on my sneakers or dumb shit like that. It wasn't for any of those reasons. It was just for that, yo, this is the back of nigga down. Yo, if you come in my circumference, if you invade my space and you come in with bullshit, be prepared to get some. You got to bring some to get some. You understand what I'm saying? So I believe that I have a right, and everybody has that right to protect themselves, just not in the way that it's being done. And we also got to realize that the police aren't here to protect us. They're here to protect the interests of corporate America. That's it. Not to protect us, just to keep us in line.
That's exactly right. Like me, I got a concealed, you know, license and everything like that. So I always got my joint on me. But, you know, I'm not walking around here, you know, like I'm brolicking this and that or whatever. I just got to look. I'm like, look, people crazy out here. I'm trying to make sure I'm on the even playing field if something ever pop up.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I hope I never had to use my joint, but I'm like, in the event that I do, I don't want to be saying, man, I wish I had something with me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I'm like, yo, I ain't got no rap for nobody when it's time. When you talking about me taking care of myself and my family, I ain't got rap for nobody.
Right. It's nothing to discuss. It ain't up for discussion. I definitely feel you.
Not at all.
And I would rather, and you're absolutely right, I would rather have it and not need it than to need it and not have it.
Right.
You dig what I'm saying? And with that, we're going to get back into another Aaliyah track, Shout Now Baby Girl, on what is her 11th anniversary of her death. Stay tuned. You're chilling with your girl, Ab, in Baltimore Sun. It's 3 Game Radio, 347-857-4302. And this is the track. This is for all the jump-offs that's actually going to go out with their jump-off tonight. This for you, baby.
Here we go like that. Here we go like that.
We done been through a lot, been through a lot. Seen a lot, seen a lot. I know we got a lot more to go through and see. We all say we represent Hillside, man, but do we really mean it? I know I do, know I do.
I reminisce on when in depth I learned how to write. It started out as a light and it turned into life. I touched down in Japan in 2003, 2004. I met Focus and Lee. Was hopeless, pinning my dreams on these seats, but wasn't seen as the heat. I know why, cause I was fiending for beats. The bull crap and the bragging raps left it behind. Truth be told, I just started perfecting my rhymes. Man, who's next in the line? I don't mess with my mind. It's the Baltimore Sun, so I'm destined to shine. I made my name on this rhyme without testing my nine. Nobody in their right mind would ever step to my kind. I'm from a city and a state that is underrated. Saying my bars is nice, understatement. I know that some are haters when they play this, cause I don't trap a swag. I'm a true MC, I don't rap for the fad. My man, in the new year, let's take it to the tip top. Like to see your head nod to let me know my hits rock. The sun will never flip flop, to never say I went pop. Everything I do it for hip hop. And now I'm rocking from the hooks to the ball. From nothing, now look, I'm a star. With crooks in the bar, cause see, I never went pop. Everything I do it for hip hop. For fame, I never act strange, change or switch. I got a family, my health, I'm sane, I'm rich. So I can care less about dollars and cents. Ice around the chain, nectar, even my wrist. Been through a little and it's seen a lot more. It made you more raw with the meanest hot bars. Love, but when I'm gone, I might mean a lot more. Cause my mom raised a legend like the Feeny Shot Core. I'm finally realizing what it means to shock y'all. When I drop bars, I stop y'all like the scene is blocked off. I know you might be thinking y'all have seen them pop off, but I'm shining over negativity. My pop's gone. I value life now. The music is all in the mix. Rappers are not true hip hop. Stop calling them this. I'm here to tell you they ain't heard the true artists do it harder than this. I'm just a part of the fix for real. In the new year, let's take it to the tip top. Like to see your head knock and let me know my hits rock. The sun will never flip flop. Can never say I went pop. Everything I do it for hip hop. And now I'm rocking from the hooks to the ball. Came from nothing, now look, I'm a star. The crooks in the bars, cause see I never went pop. Everything I do it for hip hop.
More sun, more sun.
It's your girl, Ab, and you're listening to Pregame Radio 347-857-4302. That was just Baltimore Sun with Do It For Hip Hop, one of my favorite tracks. You know, I definitely had to play that since you're chilling with your girl here in pregame.
I
definitely like that. The music is real. Just want some smooth, you know, lay back, chill shit. You know what I mean? I can definitely appreciate that. Let me ask you a question. What is your thought process when it comes to creating a song? Are you inspired by just shit you see going on? Like right now, you driving, you're on your way home, you can see some shit. You go home and write about that shit. Or do you say, I'm not going to focus. My focus is once I get in the studio, that's it. Everything else is blocked out. I'm in the studio. That's what I'm concentrating on. What's your thought process when creating a song?
Like, actually, I used to do that when I used to write my rhymes. It's like anytime I would see something, I might just pen something, you know, right then and there. Right, I have 1,000 pieces of paper just all over the place and everything. But now I don't even write. I don't even write my rhymes down anymore. So it's like normally when I get a track from the producer, I try to stick, you know, if they didn't make it specifically for me, I try to stick to the title of the track. But if I'm not feeling it, then, like, I just change it, you know, and make it what I want it to be. But
right.
I'll just have a track and I'll just be listening to it for a while, and then I might come up. And you know what, it's funny that you asked me that because I myself don't even know, like, how I do it. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, man, how did I come up, like, with some of this stuff, you know? Ideas just come to my head, and then I'll be like, all right, I'm going to do this. And I'm like, oh, no, I don't like that. And then I flip it and come something else. And next thing I know, I got like three verses in the kind of, or two, however the song is, and it kind of just like all ties in to the same thing. And I'm like, damn, I was just like left field when I started this, right field when I started that one, but it just all gelled together, you know? So, yeah, I just listen to a track, and then whatever, like, words just start coming to me, and then I just build off of that. And then at the end is when I create the name of the song.
Okay, that's the stuff. Because I was kind of curious about that. I mean, I've heard some artists say that, you know, they don't think about the track. They don't think about going into the studio until they actually get in the studio, and then they listen to the music that's presented to them, and they, you know, they get down, and, you know, they start to write, either, you know, they start getting creative, or like you said, they just don't like it, so they're not feeling it. So I guess when you don't like something, it's harder for you to for the song, it's harder for the words to come, you know.
I'd have had a couple of collaborations. Like, that's my problem. Like, I really had to start turning people down for the simple fact, like, I got so many of my own projects I need to do, but some of this stuff was, like, people that I've known for years, and a couple of them, you know, might still be overseas or whatever, and people might want me to do collaborations, and it's not, like, something that I'm feeling 100%, but right. It's not garbage. I'm not going to get on it regardless who it is if I just think it's straight-up trash. But, like, the beat might not really be my type of beat, even though the content is where it need to be. And I would actually have to – I got my own studio now, so that's good. But I would have to schedule a studio session in order to come up with a verse, because if I didn't, I would never – like, I would sit on the beat for, like, a month, and I'd be like, all right, I'll schedule a session for later this week. And then, like, the day of or the day before, I come up with the verse. And then I spit it and I send it, you know. But yeah, you gotta be feeling it. Like, if I'm feeling it, I got a joint from my man, King Flo, from he from Orleans, France, and I call it My Soul, because as soon as I heard it, I was like, yo, this joint like just moving my soul. Just listen to the instrumental itself, you know. It's like one of those type of joints. And then like I got the first verse, and now I'm trying to see where I'm going with the hook and everything else, but I did the verse, like, about a week ago, and now I'm just trying to see the direction of, you know, how I'm going to take the rest of it. I just don't rush in and do stuff. Like, that's a good thing about being independent. I'm not on nobody clock but my own.
Right, right. That's excellent.
So, and you know what I'm saying? So that's what I love about it. I'm not on nobody clock but my own.
Right. That's the best position to be in, because I think, too, that's why a lot of times artists come out with bullshit, with these albums, with filler music in it. You know, it's not, you know, there's not the main two or three tracks.
Every time you turn around, they're dropping a mixtape this week, next week, they're dropping another one, and they, come on, man.
Yeah, and that's just ridiculous. Well, and that's because, like you said, they got to pay that record company back that money that they was forwarded. They gotta pay for them studio artists, the producers, who engineers, whoever else got to be there. They just got to pay before they even really see a dime. So they got to keep coming out with this mediocre bullshit. You know what I mean? I would rather an artist take the time. If it takes you a year to pull out a quality record that 5 years from now, when we hear that shit, we still saying, yo, that's my shit, then I think it's worth putting in the effort for that 1 year instead of like, oh, like at the end of the month, let me go back and let me do not, because nobody can do that. I don't care what anybody say. Pac put out track after track, but that's because he was trying to pay that Death Row money back. But
right,
not
exactly.
Even all of his shit was official Pac shit. It was a couple of things that I could have just easily fast forward through, because it didn't sound like Pac. It sounded like some Rush shit that he had to just throw his motherfucking name on.
Which it was, and that's what I'm saying. Like, me, some of my favorite artists that used to be my favorite artists, I don't even listen to no more. Because, like, they started getting lazy. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, you like, all right, I got a fan base. I know whenever I put something out, let's just say Jay-Z, for instance. I don't really listen to him anymore for my own reasons. But
right,
5 years from now, if he puts his name on it, it's platinum. Like, you don't even, you know what I'm saying? So he's in a position where he can just put out whatever he wants to, and people going to buy it just because of who he is, you know. he does it, you know, he makes, he still, you know, is on top of his game and everything like that, you know what I mean? But, like you see with Pac, like, how you, like, this man got all of these songs, and it's just like, all right, you know, some of them hot, some of them not. But
right.
Let's put his name right on it and make this money. I'm like, you're taking advantage of me, you know what I'm saying? Like, don't half-ass me.
Right.
Especially if I'm paying, come on, man. If you're giving it to me for free, all right, you know, but if I'm paying, I want my money's worth.
Right, exactly, exactly. And that's why, that's one of the reasons why I have a particular fondness for Nas. You know, people say, oh, he's been out all these years, 20-something years. He's only done 8 albums. Meanwhile, Wayne, Lil Wayne's done this, that, and the third. I'm like, because Wayne is a brand. Lil Wayne is a brand. He's a company now. He's a company. While Nas was, and always will be an artist. He'll take his time. He'll take 4 years to put an album out. But guess what? When that shit come out, as soon as you hear that shit, you're like, oh, my God.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I can't even, from when I heard Nas the Dawn, now, he hadn't had anything out in, like, what, 2 years? Maybe 3 years? When I heard Nas the Dawn, it was like, yo, this is fucking hip-hop right here. This is some shit where I was like, yo, I got to hear that shit again. I got to hear that shit again. Yo, did you hear what that nigga just said? I got to hear that shit again. That's the type of music that he puts out, you know, in you know, regardless of this other fluff shit, because that's what it is to me. It's fucking fluff music. It's shit just to, you know, get a couple of dollars, have a reason to do a video and some other shit. And half the time, Wayne look like he's on fucking drugs in his videos. His eyes ain't open. I swear, I don't mean to go in on just this fun dude, but for me, he is the epitome of everything that's right, that's really fucking wrong with music right now, with hip-hop right now.
People that all the time, like, because they always, like, when people find out I spit, they like, oh, you rap. So I tell them, I'm like, no, I'm an MC. They're like, oh, what's the difference? I said, for one thing is, you know, if I drop an album, like my history album I dropped last year, that's like my first joint I done dropped, like, ever in the States, because I've been gone for so long, you know, and I made my money back, and I made a little bit extra on it, you know what I'm saying? It ain't like I did outrageous numbers, but I promoted it all myself, put it on iTunes, baby, so, you know, I didn't have nobody behind me doing it, you know what I'm saying, other than, you know, y'all, like, at the radio stations and stuff like that, promoting it, but I'm like, look, I do this, like, because I love doing this, I'm not getting paid doing it. If I was a rapper, I wouldn't be doing it if I wasn't making money from it, you know what I mean? Yo, so, like, obviously, Wayne going to rock and roll now. He's doing this, he's doing that. Now he's a skateboarder now because he's playing around because he can see that he can pay from it. If you told these rappers, 2 Chainz and all these other dudes or whatever, that from now on we're not paying you to rap no more, let's see when they put out another song.
True, and that's a good point. That is an excellent point that you just said right now. That's an excellent point. They wouldn't put out, if they couldn't make the money off of it that they was making, and they couldn't buy the ridiculous, ugly jewelry that they buying and get those stupid-ass, dumb tattoos that'll never let them do anything in life other than this right now, they wouldn't do it. They wouldn't do it.
You know why, too? Because even if they did, nobody would listen to it because they don't have nobody putting it on the radio telling you that that's hot and that's what you're supposed to hear.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, come on. Like, I remember back in the 90s, we used to hear Mobb Deep on the radio.
It's true indeed. Right about
that. Like, this on regular radio, not even internet radio.
Right. And you didn't have
to
wait till 12 o'clock at night, midnight, to hear the shit.
Right.
True indeed. Right. As an artist, let me ask you this question. Okay, you're approached by a major company, and they say to you, Baltimore Sun, we love you. We want to give you this, you know, multi-million-dollar contract. We're gonna pay for you to go on tour. You know, we're going to get you the tour bus. We're going to sponsor this, sponsor that. But in order for us to do this, we need you to record. We need you to record with the certain artist that's hot now, and we need to give you a whole new management team, meaning, you know, a new manager, a new promoter to go on tour with you, your hype man, the dude that holds your trees, the other one that holds your gat. You know, they want to replace all these dudes, and they want to put their team in place for this multi-million dollars. What is Baltimore Storm going to do?
First off, like, I'm my own person. I manage myself. I do everything right now. I got a couple of people I can go to for my graphics. So it's like there is no team behind me other than my supporters. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So that wouldn't be a problem. It depends on who this artist is, because I don't care who's hot. If they're not making the music that I live and that I can feel, you know what I'm saying? That's just like Common. Who was it? KRS-One did a St. Ives commercial. He did a liquor. Like, come on, dog. Like, for what? To get paid?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I got, like, in the song you just played, Do It For Hip Hop. And it's funny, my man Bobby Stone from Crown Heights, he said he loved it. Like, that's like he told me it's like the dopest line he'd heard in a long time. I said, for fame, I never ask strange change or switch. I got a family, my health, I'm sane, I'm rich. You know, I got my family, I'm healthy, my boys, my kids taken care of.
In your right mind, that's right.
I'm good. I don't need dough. Like, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's going to be real nice to have, but I'm not going to compromise who I am for it. Never that.
And that's the key word, compromise. That's the
right,
key word.
That.
A lot of people,
When I was in Japan, they told me, we started putting it on for, like, unsigned artists, like, from the U.S. Like, they weren't performing over there. And we started doing stuff, and, we, you know, we started on the chitlin' circuit, and we started bigging up. And then the group was like, yo, you know, well, a couple of the producers were like, well, we staying in Japan. I'm like, well, I'm going back to the States. So they tried to change the sound of the music a little bit, so I had to leave the group.
Wow.
Like, you know what I'm saying? It was going to, like, the pop. You know, because we were in Japan, I'm like, I don't care. I'm not Japanese, and I'm not staying in Japan. I'm not going. And people used to always tell me, yo, you got to do a party track, yo. I'm not a party track artist.
Right.
I don't care nothing about nobody dancing. I'm trying to reach your mind. You ain't paying attention to what I got to say if you out there, you know, dancing and all that other type of stuff.
True. True indeed. You ain't paying no mind to the lyrics. You just listening to that beat, shaking your
you
ass.
Ain't catching up.
Yeah.
No, that's not me, you know what I'm saying? I'm always going to be who I am. Like, money, you know, of course, like I said, it would depend on who that artist is. Like, so who am I working with? You're trying, I got to work with Lil Wayne, I'm not going to do it. I don't agree with yo, and I don't support him like that. I can't do it. I heard Talib Kweli one time on a show. I was listening to him, and he said he wanted to do a song with Gucci Mane, and he was like, yo, I know people going to be like, how Talib gonna do that, and this and that, but I like him. I'm thinking, yo, you trying to get dope. Get out of here.
Yeah, basically, he's just trying to, and I could see if maybe if his ulterior motive was to try and reach, because people that's listening to Gucci Mane is not listening to Talib Kweli. That's just, I mean.
Not at all.
basically, so I guess from a financial standpoint, he's trying to reach, you know, reach a different bracket, a different type of person, a different music listener. But, I mean, I don't think that doing it with Gucci Mane is the way. And right now, you know, and you know, this is just my opinion because, you know, my realm of knowledge is a box, you know, outside of my realm of knowledge is a whole bunch of other shit. So, but right now I can't see them doing anything. I can't see a collaboration between the two of them where I'm going to come away and be like, yeah, that was hot. Yeah, that was fire. That was some shit right there. I just can't see it happening. I see Kweli trying to maybe bring a message to the track, and I see Gucci Mane just shitting all over it with that Southern drawl syrup bullshit. You get what I'm saying? So with that,
yeah,
we're going to take a quick break.
I was like, wow. That's
insane. And it's like, come on, you guys ain't putting y'all money away. Y'all ain't putting your money in the shit so that you don't have to turn around 10 years from now and sell out and do that shit like that. And you know what? It's not even about money. Real quick before I go into this song, it's not even about money because real talk, Mary J. Blige, she got hella stacks. She got paper. But really, Burger King? You on a table dancing? There was no point to that fucking commercial. Yo, no. Yo, that shit was just the pitch. And I don't even see how they got her to do that. The exposure, it was more of a backlash than anything. And I think she had a CD coming out that's supposed to be coming out or was coming out at the time. And that act, that did no justice for her whatsoever. But real quick, we're going to get into this song. You're listening to Pregame Radio 347-857-4302. It is 11:42. We've got about 20 minutes left. We might go over. I don't know. It depends. Baltimore Sun and I, we're having a good conversation. Caller, area code 347, last word to this 7157. I see you. You're up next after this song.
And y'all really feel me, fellas. Say what?
Dirty South.
Here we go.
Can y'all really feel me,
baby girl?
East Coast feel me. West Coast feel me.
Can you feel it?
Dirty South.
Dirty, dirty.
Can y'all really feel me?
Feel it.
East Coast feel me.
Say what?
West Coast feel me.
Dirty
South.
Dirty, dirty, dirty.
Can y'all really feel me?
I got the
East Coast feel me.
Go, go, go.
This is Ab, and you're listening to Pregame Radio 347-857-4302. You're chilling with me in Baltimore Sun, and that was Aaliyah, Are You That Somebody? And I remember that track came out 97, 98, around that time. And that shit, I remember chilling with my girls. It was summertime. You know, we always did the cookout thing. You know, we cook out just because it was Saturday or whatever, or because niggas needed to eat. But I remember hearing that and saying to ourselves, yo, is that a baby on the truck? But that shit was just so sick, and it was so different, and it was so original. And that leads me to my next question for you, Baltimore Sun. And I know we only got like 15, 20 minutes, and I didn't mean to turn this into an interview. I know you were I have questions. And I want to know how involved in the creative, in the process of making a record are you? Are you going, lay your track, then break out, or are you there turning knobs, buttons? How involved in the process are you?
Nah, I don't know nothing about the equipment. Like, it's funny because I've been rhyming since I was like 17, and that was back in like 94. So all I ever cared about was rhyming. You know, I'd be in the studio all day. But, like, now I just, like I said, I just got my own situation, so I have to learn the equipment and stuff. But up until this point, I would just, like, record my songs, but I would sit there while the engineer is, you know, messing with the levels and stuff like that because, you know, I might have heard something that I wanted in the song, and he don't know it, and he might not mix it the way I wanted it. You know what I'm saying? But as far as me actually being on the equipment, no, all I do is spit.
Yeah, I'll feel you on that. Do you think as an artist it's important to be familiar, to know your way around the studio, to know when to add in the bass, to take it out, to change the pitch, to do the mixing, and, you know, just overall other engineering duties? I mean, at some point, would you like to become familiar with those things?
Yeah, at some point I definitely would, because then I could do everything on my own, but I don't think that it's necessary. Like, you don't have to, you know what I'm saying? Up until this point, I haven't, you know what I mean? I just haven't. I haven't been interested in even figuring it out. As long as I got somebody there to get me straight and it wasn't killing my pockets, I was all good. Like, I leave that up to the professionals.
Okay. I see what you're saying. So let me ask you this, now that you definitely you have your own studio, how do you feel about producing? And whom at this stage of the game, or who in the game, would you consider doing a track for? And I mean producing, not, you know, rapping on it or anything else, just actually just doing the production of it.
Yeah, I got my little young homegirl, Kyrie from Baltimore. I think I was telling y'all about her before. She actually had a call back for Showtime with the Apollo, and then she got down to like the finals and she lost. But I went to school with her mother, and when I met Kyrie, she was 16, and like she's just like spits, like she is just serious. You know what I mean? So I would like to work with her. And there's a couple of dudes. You know me, I'm always networking with people. I done heard a few artists like me. I'm always trying to stay with the unsigned artists because, you know, that's my thing and everything. And there's a couple dudes like in Baltimore that's serious. Like, I'm in awe of some of these dudes like on the lyrical tip. You know what I mean? And I would love to hear them. You know, I would love to work with them and everything like that. But like, really, mainstream, I don't know. Like, I listen to the mainstream underground. I don't even listen to main. I just call mainstream underground because everybody know them. Like, but of course, I have some of my favorite MCs. You know, that do that thing. I would be honored to work with.
Okay. All right. Now, let me ask you this about, we touched briefly about collaborations earlier, but let me ask you this. Okay, so you collaborating, there's four or five other dudes on the track, and there's the track, the track is for this one main artist. Like, say how everybody did, they had, how LL Cool J had all these different people up there for 4-3-2-1, right? Foxy
right.
Brown and what's his name? The one
yeah,
he had the beef with. Right. Okay, so he had a couple of people up there, right? So you're in this situation, and they come to you. Everybody's late, their tracks, shit is hot, shit is fire. And they come to you, and they say, you know, Baltimore son, you know, your shit is hot, your shit is fire, but we need you to dumb it down a little bit because your shit is hotter than the featured artist, than the main artist. And we can't have anybody on his track sounding better than him. As an artist, what do you do at this point? What is your recourse? What do you do? Do you say, you know what?
They come
fuck that
me.
Nigga, y'all can kiss my ass, give me my shit back,
look,
or do you dumb your shit down for the opportunity?
If they come to me, they already know what I provide. You know what I'm saying? And one thing I don't do is this clown tomfoolery stuff. They just going to have to take me off of it. You know what I mean? Is it helping my career? Anybody? Nah, come on, dog. You shouldn't have asked me if you knew I was better than your artist. Like, I was recording in England, and we had this dude. He was from New York, but he was on some wild, like, he was almost like a Buddha monk and an old dirty combined. Like, he wasn't nice, but, you know, he had that extra theatrics with him and everything. And we was doing the track. It was like 4 or 5 of us. And he went in and doing his, all kind of wild stuff. And we had this Asian kid who had went in and spit a verse, which was fine, right? Mm-hmm. Then after the boy Luther spit his joint on the crazy stuff, he went back and he was like, yo, I need to re-record mine. So he went in and yelling and screaming, trying to match homeboy intensity, right? So when I go in, I had the last verse, you know, I go in and everything. And he like, yo, son, you got to kill him, man. Just get. I said, yo, I'm just going to do me. And I spent my little smooth, you know, my little smooth vibe, but it still was powerful. But I'm like, yo, I'm not no clown, man. I'm just going to be me. You know what I'm saying? If you hit me up, you hitting me up for who I am. I don't drink. I don't smoke. So I'm not going to be talking about that. And I've been on tracks where dudes are talking about that. And I make sure that somewhere in my line, I can say I'm saying I relate to what they doing, but I don't do it. You know what I'm saying? So people can know that I'm advocating that. You know what I mean? So no, I'm just gonna be me. Take it or leave it. The one thing about me, I don't care about being in the music industry. Like really, people always I just really don't. I just love making music. You know what I'm saying? I don't. I go play basketball every week, but I ain't trying to go to the NBA. I just love hooping.
Right. Right, that you know what, and I think that was a great analogy you used just now by saying, you know, you play basketball every week, but that don't mean you trying out for the Knicks and shit.
No, I ain't going to the NBA. Yeah, I just love playing. It's the same thing with music. Like, if I was, I'm not gonna lie, if I was as nice as I am now when I was younger, then we might be having a different conversation.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? When I had that grind in me and I had the time where I could dedicate all day long to nothing but music, but I wasn't as nice as I am now.
Right.
You know, so I'm at a point now where I'm happy to be able to be played, to be sitting here chopping it up with you in New York. You know what I'm saying? I'm just a dude from Baltimore. No, you know what I'm saying? That type of stuff means stuff to me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because I know where I came from. You know, that type of thing. So, yeah, everybody trying to be in the game, and they don't even understand, you know, the ins and outs of the whole thing. They beg, like your boy said, Young Guru, you begging to become a slave. You asking to become a slave.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Just do your own thing.
And there you have it from Baltimore. Son, I hope you up-and-coming startup artists are really taking the time to listen out to somebody who has paid their dues and is paying their dues. This is Pre-Game Radio. You're live with your girl, Evan, Baltimore Sun, 347-857-4302. And before we get up out of here, I just have one last question that I'm interested in asking. And this is basically your opinion on yourself. What is the difference between Baltimore Sun 10 years ago and Baltimore Sun now?
My whole thought process, like 10 years ago, I always been a laid back, like chill type of dude. But 10 years ago, I was wild. Like I'm overseas, I'm partying. Like it was like right before, you know, I got married. And I had a short temper. You know, now, Baltimore Sun, I got kids. I'm going to tell you, I've been Baltimore Sun for, like, since 98, right? And I never had anything for the Sun part. Until about a couple years ago when it started meaning shining over negativity. I just was always Baltimore Sun. I never had nothing slick to say or that had any meaning to it. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just evolved now. I'm grown, I'm mature, you know what I mean? And, you know, 10 years ago I was a young and I was wild.
Well, it's good to be able to look back and see a difference, to see yourself in a different place, a more mature you, a more in control of yourself you, and,
yep,
you know, just on the right track. Some people are doing the same thing they was doing 10, 15, 20 years ago and don't see anything wrong with it. Now, there's an issue when you just don't have any type of personal growth, spiritual growth, or emotional growth. You got to change. At some point in time, you do have to evolve, you know.
Right.
And with that, on the close out, pregame radio, I thank everyone for tuning in and listening. Baltimore Sun, I thank you so much for calling in and keeping
always
me up pop, because actually I was just going to rock out with music tonight. I wasn't going to interview nobody. I wasn't going to do no talking because y'all know that Eb is the Mac in the back, not the chump in the front. And with that, we'll catch you tomorrow. Pregame radio, baby. Good night.
Yeah.
Peace.
Check it out. MCMI, people call me Milk. When I'm busting up a party, I feel no guilt. Milk is cutting up for Z. Suckers that down with me. The one of us, that's how I feel. To be down, you must appeal. To the two, we're rated R. We're gifted and we're going far. Down the road to the bank. While I'm here, I'd like to thank Mom and Dad, they knew the time. What more can I say? Top villain, that's what we get. Got it good, since you understood. Would you stop scheming and looking hard? I got a great big bodyguard, so step up if you wanna get hurt. Milk these on or pull this skirt. I get money, money I got. Sons call me honey if they feel real hot. That's how it is, you can ask this. I stole your nigga while you was in prison, jail.
Game Radio and your girl Eb, and we are out. Deuces.